Here's what I want to brag on. I am seeing people from 16 miles out west of town. I'm seeing people from 30 miles out that are a part of a camp. And what I'm not seeing is a lot of local people. So I said a lot of local people, okay? You guys are my heroes. You guys are my champions that are coming out and driving through the snow. I watched a funny video that my friend Kevin actually posted yesterday, and it was this guy leaving his house, and he's like, I have to get bread and milk. I have to get bread and milk. And that's what happens when it snows, right? Everybody's just freaking out. This is Laramie. Come on. You live in the mountains, right? So I want to commend all of you that are here from outsides of town, from insides of town, and for those of you listening that are local that aren't here because it was too cold or snowy, this one's for you. You suck, all right? You suck, and you should have been here because this week's going to be really awesome. This week's going to be really awesome. So we just finished a four-week series as what it is to be new at Whitewater, what that looks like, our core values, our core beliefs, our core everything, what we believe Scripture speaks to, and then the rest, there's a lot of just gray area stuff. And we don't feel we need to tackle a lot of that, but we want you to have a firm foundation for how we move forward together. Prior to that, we had a little bit of a gap after Christmas and New Year's, and we taught, a three-week series, which was just really good as well, because I taught it, right? And then prior to that, we ended our series right before the new year in the good and beautiful God. Anybody remember that? Anybody read that? Okay, The Good and Beautiful God is an incredible book. It's written by a man named James Bryan Smith, who's a really brilliant guy. He's got schools like Yale that he has credits from and accolades from, right? He's a lot smarter than I am. But I got a chance to hang out with Brian, Mr. Smith, James, Jimmy, Jim, if you will. We got a chance to hang out with Jim in Dallas, and it was a real small gathering of maybe 50 people. And I didn't know Jim from anybody else, but I sat next to Jim over lunch, and Jim just wanted to hear about me. Jim wanted to hear about our ministry. Jim wanted to hear about Whitewater, specifically you. Jim wanted to know. So I come home from that conference, and I'm like, I don't know anything about Jim's books. That's irrelevant. What I knew of Jim was his big heart for people. What I knew of Jim was a man who has been a life transformed into a Jesus follower, and it was evident by how he handled me. It was evident by how he handled the other 49 people in the room. It was evident by how he just gave away what God gave him. And he starts talking about this process of this series. He actually wrote the book we're actually going through right now. This is the intro to it, The Good and Beautiful Life. Show that picture, would you, for me? Okay? If you get a chance, meaning if you have the intranet, meaning, I want you to order this week. I want you to order this, and I want you to have it come to your home, and I want you to read. And I want you to read with us as we go through this. Interesting thing is Jim wrote this book first in the series, which is interesting because it's the middle book of the series. For now. A prequel? No, shut up. So, getting schooled over here by these kids. It's called a prequel. Like Star Wars. Nerds, shut up. All right? Okay. I love you. So Jim wrote this book, and he thought that's the good starting point, a good foundation. And he puts this book out, and he starts doing testing with this book with people, and he's realizing that he couldn't speak to this. A good and beautiful life if people never had a corrected view of who God was. Because we want to view God as this angry God, right? God wants me to try harder. Anybody thought that? Just got to try harder at this Christian thing. See where that gets you, okay? God blesses me when I'm good. Huh? Punishes me when I'm bad. Anybody thought that? Come on. God is angry with me. These are the things that we addressed in this last series, The Good and Beautiful God. to where we can even get to the point where we can even read about possibly even fathoming whether we can have a good and beautiful life. And if you remember, we kept going back to, there's a phrase that he continued to use, the God that Jesus knows. See, we want to read the Old Testament or Scripture, or most of us don't even read it, right? Let's be honest. Most of us don't read it, but we want to. When we do, we want to read and we want to characterize the Old Testament as this God is just a jerk, vindictive, mean. And then you have this God wrapped in flesh in Jesus that comes and hangs out. And Jesus is saying, "That's you've got it wrong. That's not the God that I know. That's not the God that you are characterizing as your God." So he writes this book, and he backs all the way up to give us a little better glimpse of correcting our narratives. And then we jump into this good and beautiful life. So I want you to purchase a copy of this, okay? And if you can't, if you honestly don't have the funds or resources, or if you didn't give anything today and you've been coming to this church and you haven't given at all, invest in this book. Because you're investing in yourself. This is going to take us to the next level. This is going to take us, this getting out of the boat. This is going to start addressing core issues within our world. It's based on the Sermon on the Mount. That's the springboard for all of this in the good and beautiful life. So let's get it. Let's read it. Not only read it, but as you get this series, and you guys are saying, "Oh, I just want to hear from the Bible." It's in there. The Bible is the foundation for all of what he has written, okay? So if you're one of those, "I'm not coming back until they start teaching out of the Bible," whatever, okay? We are. We'll back all this up biblically. We'll show you that every week. But we're going to read this together, I hope. I pray you're on Google right now, Amazon, Christian book distributors, whatever it is, to find this book. In this book, at the end of each chapter, you're going to find soul training exercises. This is where the meat starts coming out of the bone, right? My wife and I we've been reading through this series again. We read through it years ago with a group of people, and it was impactful then. And we've been reading through this together in our marriage. And I thought, well, let's not waste it. Let's teach through it too, so I don't have to do triple the work, right? Because I'm lazy. No one cares. Good. Whatever. So we start reading through this, and each week it's these soul training exercises. That one of them was, don't speak for a day. An entire day. Don't say a word. Now the chapter was dealing with lying. And there's a good chance, and there's good stats that support this, that the majority of what comes out of our mouths is lies. How wild is that? And you guys just learned about this week, right? This Sunday, just like 30 minutes ago. So you go a day without speaking. It's an intriguing thing. How many of you think you can do it? Those are the introverts, good. Extroverts, where are you at? I'm one of you. I'm an extrovert. And it's hard for me. It's hard for me to sit in silence. It's hard for me to ride in my car in the 2 or 3 minute drive it takes to get here without turning on the radio. It's hard for me to pick up Caleb for lunch on campus. There was some terrible 80s song that I was just blaring and rocking out. It was Styx, okay? Anybody like Styx? We are hitting an interesting demographic. Yeah. It's hard for me to get quiet. This week's exercise was doing 5 acts of kindness to help relieve someone's burden. And one caveat was, you can't give money. You can't just write a check. That's the easy thing to do, right? There you go. Go buy yourself something nice. Five acts of random kindness to relieve someone's burden. And what this does is it starts infecting our minds. It starts infecting our souls, because what this does is we start thinking forward. I've got 7 days or 6 days from today that I've got to figure out where I'm going to place this activity of silence or whatever the activity is, writing a letter to God. It's interesting. But it starts being in your mind daily. It almost starts transforming your mind. It almost sounds like scripture. I don't think it's in there, but it almost starts renewing your mind daily. Your heart, your soul, everything that you are. And it becomes more than a practice. When we did this years ago, my wife and I and this group of people, it was kind of the first go at it, and we didn't really know what to expect. And at first, this stuff seemed so foreign and so weird. We're like, this is some hippity-dippity crap, okay? You want us to go sit in a park and reflect on nature? That's one of them. You want us to write down what we see in your creation? You want us to be aware of our surroundings and noises of animals, noises of people? You want us to be actively engaged in the moment as Christian people? This is where it's going to start getting real. So I encourage you all to buy this book. This is a shameless plug for Jim. No, I'm not on his payroll. No, I don't get any kickback from this. Except for you and a life changed. Except for Whitewater becoming who God is calling us to become. Except for a group of people who have been hesitant to jump out of the boat, and all of a sudden, we're all overboard, man. We're all overboard. We're all swimming and seeing God for who he is. Man, this is going to be awesome. Get this book. I can't say it enough. Get this book. It's going to change your life. It's continuing to change mine as I read through it again. And what's beautiful is these things that we used to think were attainable in our world in terms of spiritual disciplines and practices, that's what this is beefing up. It's working out our spiritual disciplines. These things that we thought were foreign and these things that we thought were just kind of crazy left field stuff, all of a sudden now, 3 years later, my wife and I are reading through this and we're starting to see where these things are a natural extension of what we do and who we are. And this is just one source. And again, all of this comes from Scripture. All of this comes from the God that Jesus knows. All of this comes from seeing Jesus rightly. And as we talked about evangelism, what this does is point the entire Sermon on the Mount, takes us, leads us to Jesus and Jesus' words. It doesn't take just us, but it takes everybody else and leads us to Jesus' words. We don't have to do the heavy lifting, but we do have to be obedient to what we're hearing and seeing and where God is calling us to be. It's incredible. John Wesley, the great preacher and founder of the Methodist movement. Ooh. Anybody know the Methodists in this church? They have that weird upside-down boat church. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's got a giant, like, stained glass. Methodists are weird. No, they just have a weird building, right? There's a lot of great Methodists. But John Wesley was once approached by a man who came to him in a grip of unbelief. And the man said, "All is dark. My thoughts are lost." The man said to Wesley, "But I hear that you preach to a great number of people every night and morning. Pray, what would you do with them? Whither would you lead them? What religion do you preach? What is it good for?" Wesley responded to these questions. He says this, "You ask what would I do with them? I would make them virtuous and happy." There's a lot of miserable people today, isn't there? Easy in themselves. There's a lot of people that are the opposite of that. you're trying to crawl out of your own skin. You're so uncomfortable. And useful to others. Uh-oh. Whither would I lead them? To heaven, to God, the judge, the lover of all, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. What religion do I preach? The religion of love, the law of kindness brought to light by the gospel, the good news. What is it good for? To make all who receive it enjoy God and themselves. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Do you enjoy yourself? To make them, like God, lovers of all, contented in their lives and crying out at their death in calm assurance, O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who giveth me victory through my Lord and Jesus Christ. And that is the description of a good and beautiful life. That's what we're headed into. Imagine yourself in that position, acting and being, not acting, owning, being a happy people, not happy, but joyful. Not because your life's great, but because Jesus in your world, that you're able to enjoy yourself and your Creator God. That's a life I want. That's a life you want, whether you're willing to admit it today or not. Right? But that is the good and beautiful life. Jesus answered it this way: I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. All of this stuff is leading us to Jesus. All of this stuff is going to infect us to lead others to Jesus. All of this stuff, as we get out of the boat, as we get uncomfortable, as we get where God is calling us as a church to be. Some of you are new here today. Some of you are like, I don't know about this. If you're plugging in, spoiler alert, this is where we're going. This is where we're headed, okay? The good and beautiful life is designed to do exactly what Wesley is describing. This book actually has a single aim, and it's to draw people into the divine conspiracy of love and transformation. In The Good and Beautiful God, remember the first book? It focuses on the God that Wesley described, loving, holy, forgiving, and joyful. But this book that we're going to go through starting next week shifts the focus into our own lives, hearts, and character. It contains a method of growth towards a virtuous life of gladness and kindness. Is that the person you want to be? Curmudgeons in the room? Addicts in the room? People struggling with depression in the room? Oh. People that are trying to crawl out of their own skin in the room. This is where we're going. This book is aimed at your heart. We pray that you come with us. We pray that you take this seriously because this is life change. How do you know, Adam? Because I'm one of them. There's a whole group of people that went through this before, and they're one of them too. They can attest to this. But I'm not a reader. Start. Do you know it comes on audio versions too? I don't have an excuse. I don't have time. Bullsh. I stopped. Caden's mouth dropped like he doesn't say that at school. He's laughing now. I don't have time. Make time. I don't read. Listen. Read and listen. That's what my wife and I do. She likes to listen. It helps to have the auditory for her. For me, I can read. And then I actually do both because we buy both versions. We invest in this. We buy the book twice. And at first I was like, I don't want to do this. This is a waste of money. Life change is a waste of money. Give me another guitar. Right? Let me just avoid life change. You ready to get serious? You ready to get real? Let's do it. God, thanks for this time together. Thank you for how you call us to Jesus. God, thank you for Jesus and for what he did that we would even be willing to be called to Jesus. Through his sacrifice, through him knowing who you are and what you've called him to do, for him taking you seriously in your word to make disciples, to teach us the way. God, to love as he loved. God, I pray for this next series as we go into this, that it's not just words. God, that we would allow it to infect every core of our being. That we would take seriously what we hear from you, what we hear from your word, what we hear from scripture, what we hear from people that are just constantly bathing in your word and writing these things down for us. God, thanks for Jim. Thanks for his efforts in this. Thanks for his ability to change and move in obedience, to show us that it's possible as people. God, give us a desire to grow nearer to you, to move two steps closer to you. And not just us, but let us bring the world around us with us. As we love, as we become a glad, joyful people that enjoy God and ourselves. God, I pray for health in this room today. I pray for all the sickness that's been going around this town. Heal those of us that have caught this crap. Protect those of us that haven't gotten it yet to not get it. God, if there's any silent suffering marriages right now, God, I pray that you bring that to light today. God, if they need prayer, if they need anything, that they'd come forward and just grab someone. Come pray with our prayer team up here. Come pray with me. Come pray with anybody in the leadership, anybody that's sitting around them. God, if there's any of us that know where we need to jump out of the boat, and that's today, let us not stop. Let us not wait for another day, another Sunday, but let us jump now. If we know where we need to serve today, let us jump. If we know we need to be teaching kids today, let us jump. If we know we need to be serving and set up today, let us jump, God. If we know that we should have given money when that bag came around and we didn't, God, let us jump. By the way, we have boxes in the back to collect if that's you. Right? God, if we came here this weekend, this Sunday, expecting to just walk in and walk out unchanged, change our minds, change our hearts, change our lives to reflect you. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.